Welcome back to the deep dive. So today we're taking a deep breath and jumping into what might be one of the most advanced topics in decentralized finance.
Yeah, mastering Uniswap V3's concentrated liquidity. It's not a small topic.
Not at all. This isn't just, you know, an iteration. It's a fundamental shift in how you have to think about providing liquidity.
It really is. It's the difference between using like a blunt instrument and a precision surgical tool.
And that's our mission today, right? Mm. We need to unpack this V3 revolution.
Exactly. We're talking about the potential for up to 4,000 times the capital efficiency of V2. That's the headline.
But there's always a catch.
Always. And the catch is a big one. V3 basically turns passive investing into very active management. And if you mismanage it, well, you're looking at magnified losses.
So let's start there. Why did we even need V3? What was so broken about V2 that it needed this complete overhaul?
Well, the V2 problem was, it was almost absurdly simple when you look back at it. The protocol forced LPs, liquidity providers, to spread their capital across the entire price curve.
Yeah.
I mean, from zero to infinity.
The whole theoretical range.
The whole thing. And what the data showed was that, like, 99.9% of that money just sat there. It did nothing. All the trading happened in this tiny, tiny fraction of the range.
So it was just wildly inefficient.
Wildly inefficient. V3's solution is to just say, forget zero to infinity. Let's put our money only where the trades are actually happening.
And that concentration is the key. That's the source of the efficiency, but also the risk.
That's the trade-off right there. You're trading that passive, low-risk, low-return setup for something that's active, high risk, and potentially high return.
You're choosing to be hyper-efficient.
And therefore, hyper-exposed.
Exactly. Okay, so let's try to quantify this efficiency, because those numbers are what gets everyone's attention.
They are.
The core innovation, as you said, is choosing a specific price range, a floor and a ceiling.
Mm-hmm. A lower and an upper boundary. You only earn fees when the current price is, you know, sitting right between them.
And this is where the math gets a little unbelievable.
It is pretty astonishing. Let's use the best case scenario to really show the power. Stablecoin pairs.
Like USDC and DAI?
Perfect. They're supposed to trade around $1 in V2. If you wanted to support, say, $1 million in daily swaps, you might need, what, $4 million of liquidity?
$4 million just sitting there. That's a huge overhead.
A huge overhead. Now, compare that to V3. If you're really confident in that peg, you can set a super tight range, say 0.1% around a dollar.
Okay.
To generate the same fee income, you might only need $1,000.
Wait, $1,000 instead of $4 million?
That's the math. And that's how you get to that theoretical 4,000x capital efficiency gain.
Yeah.
Every single dollar you have is working in that active zone.
Okay, if the efficiency is that extreme 4,000x, that sounds way too good to be true. What's the catch for a volatile asset like, say, ETH?
The catch is volatility. Absolutely. That 4,000x number is the absolute peak for assets that barely move. For something like ETHUSDC, you have to use a much, much wider range if you want to stay in the game and keep earning fees.
So if you set a range that's what, plus or minus 10% of the current price?
Yeah, a 10% range. Mm-hmm. Your efficiency gain drops pretty significantly. Maybe it's more like 20x or 30x over V2, which is still great, but it's not 4,000x.
So the big takeaway here is that your efficiency is tied directly to your range width.
Inversely, yeah.
Yeah.
The narrower the range, the higher the efficiency. And that range width is dictated by how volatile the asset is. Which brings us right to the double-edged sword.
The moment of truth.
Yeah. The moment the price steps outside your chosen boundary, that's when your high efficiency grinds to a halt and your magnified risk kicks in.
So walk us through what actually happens to the position. Let's stick with that ETH example. ETH is at $2,000, and my range is set from, say, $1,800 to $2,200.
Okay, perfect. If the price of ETH moves above your upper bound of $2,200, your position automatically converts to 100% of the quote asset.
So in this case, all USDC.
All USDC. And conversely, if the price crashes below your lower bound of $1,800,
it becomes 100% ETH.
Exactly. And at that point, you stop earning fees, and crucially, you are now fully exposed to the price of that single asset. Your impermanent loss is, well, it's magnified.
So this means the most important decision for any V3 LP is setting that range. It's the difference between being a day trader and a, you know, long-term investor.
Absolutely. Let's map out the main strategies using that ETH at $2,000 example.
Okay.
You can start with the most conservative, what we'll call the full range.
Basically V2 on V3.
Pretty much. You set your range really wide, like from $1,000 to $3,000. Efficiency is low, but it's safe. It needs almost no monitoring.
Okay, that's for the beginner. What's next?
Next up is the wide range. Maybe $1,600 to $2,400, so plus or minus 20% band.
Mm.
Here, you get a decent efficiency bump, maybe 5x to 10x, but you probably need to check on it weekly. It's a good balance.
Then we get into active territory, the medium range.
Yeah, this is where you've got to be paying attention. This is your $1,800 to $2,000 range, that 10%.
Right.
Efficiency jumps up to maybe 10x, 20x, but you have to monitor this thing daily. A single big market swing can knock you out of range.
And finally, the highest risk. The narrow range.
This is pretty much just for stable coins. This is where you're chasing that 4,000x with like a plus or minus 1% to 5% range.
And this is not for humans?
No. This requires bots, automated rebalancing, it's professional grade stuff, a tiny DPEG, and your fee income is gone. The critical thing here is that your range is a commitment to a management schedule. Narrow means constant attention. Wide lets you sleep at night.
Okay, so let's shift from the strategy to the mechanics, the nuts and bolts. How does V3 even calculate these price points? This is where ticks come in, right?
Yeah, ticks. Ticks are basically, think of them as digital fence posts where you can place your liquidity. V3 doesn't have a smooth, continuous price curve. It works in discrete steps.
Okay.
And the protocol is designed so that each tick represents a very precise 0.01% price change.
So for the LP, the practical effect is just that the price moves in these tiny, consistent little jumps.
Exactly. It's all about precision. But, and this is a key point, you can't just place liquidity on any tick you want. That would be too expensive, gas-wise.
So that's where tick spacing comes in. It's a gas-saving measure.
It is entirely a gas optimization. Uniswap has different fee tiers, and each tier dictates the spacing between usable ticks.
And for the most popular one, the 0.3% tier.
For the 0.3% tier, the spacing is 60. That means you could only set your range boundaries on every 60th tick.
Which corresponds to what, a 0.6% price change?
Roughly, yeah. So you have to set your range at these official tick markers. It saves a ton on computation and gas for everyone.
And this technical structure, it also completely changes how fees are handled. This is a big trap for anyone coming from V2.
The huge trap. In V2, your fees just automatically compounded back into the pool.
Right.
In V3, that's a dangerous assumption. Your fees accumulate separately and you have to collect them manually.
Why is that?
Because every V3 position is basically a unique NFT. It has its own specific range. The protocol can't just auto-merge fees back into this unique thing without doing a really expensive transaction on its own.
So now the LP is stuck with this constant question of when to collect their fees.
It's a constant financial calculation. And this is where the difference between L1 and L2 becomes so important.
On Ethereum mainnet L1, the gas costs could be what? 20, semi, 50 bucks?
Easily, depending on congestion. So you have to wait until your fees are, you know, way higher than that, maybe $100 or more, just to make it worthwhile.
Which forces you into like a monthly collection schedule?
At least. But on an L2 like Arbitrum or Optimism,
the cost is pennies.
Right, maybe 20 cents to a dollar. And that changes the whole game. It makes weekly or even daily collection totally viable.
Yeah.
If you're serious about active management, you basically have to be on an L2. Otherwise, gas costs will just eat all your profit.
All right, let's talk about the situation that everyone dreads, the out-of-range problem. So we set our ETH range, $1,800 to $2,200. The price drops to $1,700. Our position is now 100% ETH, and we're earning zero.
And this is the exact moment that so many people fall into what's called the panic trap.
Describe the panic trap. What's the mistake people are making?
Okay, so the LP sees the price crash. They check their position. They see it's all ETH. And they think, oh, no, I'm losing money. I have to get out now.
So they withdraw.
They withdraw immediately. And in doing that, they are locking in their loss. They basically bought that ETH at an average price inside their range, say $2,000. And now they're selling it for cash at $1,700.
So they realize a huge loss, plus the impermanent loss.
Exactly. Withdrawing right then is often the worst possible financial move. The better strategy is to either wait or to rebalance.
Okay, so how do you decide?
You have to step back and think strategically. How far out of range are you? If the price is only like 2% or 5% out, the smart move is probably to wait.
You're betting it'll snap back into your fee zone.
You are. But if the trend looks strong and you're way out, maybe 20% below your range.
Mm, then you have to rebalance.
Then you have to rebalance. Holding 100% ETH when it's still crashing is just more downside exposure. Rebalancing is about cutting your losses and getting your capital working again.
So what are the steps? It sounds expensive and complicated.
It's a multi-step process, which again is why you need to be on L2.
Okay, step one.
Step one, withdraw the old position. And super important, collect your fees first.
Got it.
Step two, now your portfolio is all ETH. You have to do a swap. You sell about half of that ETH back to USDC to get to a 50-50 dollar value ratio at the new market price.
You're resetting your entire position.
You are. Step three. You create a brand new position centered around the current price of $1,700. And step four, you have to choose a new range width. Maybe you make it wider if the market's looking shaky.
And every one of those steps costs gas, plus there's a swap fee.
Yes. It reinforces why you have to be constantly doing the math.
Okay, to bring this all home, let's run through an anti-checklist. The biggest mistakes a beginner V3LP can make.
Number one, for sure, is setting ranges too narrow right out of the gate.
They see the 4,000x and they get greedy.
Exactly. The fix is to start wide, like plus or minus 20% to 50%. Get a feel for it and only narrow your range as you get more confident.
And we just talked about the next one, the panic trap, withdrawing when you go out of range.
Right. That turns a paper loss into a real permanent loss.
Yeah.
Don't panic. Either wait for a recovery or make a strategic rebalance.
What's another common one?
Setting your range based only on today's price. You have to look at volatility and history. An asset that looks stable today might have a history of huge swings. You need to give it a buffer.
And we have to underline that even if you do everything right, profit is not guaranteed. The fees you earn can get wiped out by impermanent loss. You have that sobering $10,000 example.
Yeah, it's a good reality check. So imagine a $10,000 ETHSD position.
Okay.
In month one, the price is stable, it stays in your tight range, and you earn a fantastic $150 in fees. A great return.
But then month two hits.
Then the volatility comes. The price drops, you go out of range, you earn zero fees for the month. But because of the price drop in IL, your portfolio's value is now down by $500.
Wow.
So even though you made $150 in that good month, you're still down $350 overall. Your profit is always fees minus IL and gas. If the price never comes back, you're losing money, no matter how good the fees were at first.
So the final synthesis for you, the listener, has to be this. One, V3 requires active management, period.
Mm-hmm.
Two, range selection is the most critical decision. It defines your risk and your reward.
Absolutely.
And three, if you're serious, you have to use L2 chains. It's the only way to manage actively and profitably.
V3 is a huge leap forward for DeFi in terms of efficiency, but it's demanding. You know, this knowledge is valuable, but it's only powerful if you apply it with patience and a clear strategy.
And this leads us to our final thought for you to consider. Yeah. Since V3 forces you to constantly calculate your break-even time, you know, your expected fees versus your gas costs, it's effectively turned every single liquidity provider into a highly active micro trader, hasn't it?
A micro trader, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
So what does this constant need for optimization mean for the market? Does it fundamentally change who actually profits from decentralized exchanges, tilting the playing field toward professional firms and bot operators, and away from the casual investor?